Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Like, this whole journey of this last year is me regaining trust in myself and following my gut and following my body too. Cause like, the body doesn't lie. Energy doesn't lie.
Ooh, it's about to get juicy in here.
Welcome back to TK's Juicy Pod. I am here today with Manon Matthews.
Hello, hello.
Well, I'm so excited to meet you because although we did get set up through, I think, your publicist, you have a very fancy team.
I do.
Yeah. That's when you know you're legit, when like someone connects you through like a team member. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess this girl must be very legit.
Well, I had to because I had my assistant reaching out for a while.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I guess even the fact of saying my assistant, who I don't have right now, because but I used to, and no one responded. So I was like, okay, I got to hire PR.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think things get lost. I mean, it takes me like, I need to be reminded like four times, like, hey, check your email. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. No, I get it. So, Manon, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? I just like the 1 minute podcast spiel of if someone hasn't for some reason heard of you before, other than your like iconic vines. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, just give us the 1 minute spiel?
Yeah, born and raised in Los Angeles. My name's Manon Matthews. I'm a recent author. I wrote a book called Funny How It Works Out. I got started on my social media on Vine. I had 3 million followers. Then I since then have transferred to Instagram and now TikTok. So content creating machine, as well as I used to do stand-up. I have a spiritual channel called Manifestation. And so I kind of like to, I think master healer is just what I'm going to say in this podcast, is like I like to heal people through laughter, but also like I love to get like deep and serious. And that's what like a lot of my book is about.
Really? Well, tell us a little bit about your book. I'm actually so fascinated. I was reading, or I was watching your video on your website. You were talking about like your little promo for your book. And I was, by the way, your promo was so good, because I was like, Fork, I need to read this book. It sounds so interesting.
Oh, yay.
So can you tell me a little bit about it? And like, I'm sure you've given everyone like the little recap, but is there anything like juicy you want to reveal about the book?
Oh, 100%. Always. Okay. I had an idea to write a book a while ago, but it's really hard to get me to like sit down and just like, oh, I'll just write a book. So it definitely.
Well, you're a creator, so that's why.
Oh my God, I know. My attention span's getting worse by the minute. Especially with 6 seconds, it was just like, okay, we have to get. And now we have, you know, I love TikTok. It like revived my,
yeah, I love
it's so fun.
I can't wait to talk to you about it.
Yeah, so the book, I just wanted to talk about my life. I, you know, I went through alcohol and addiction and social media and my parents, and the biggest thing that propelled me to write a book was I got married and met the love of my life, and it was like a dream fairy tale amazing story. Like, we would tell people our story and they would get goosebumps, and I was like, I know, me too. And we had the wedding of our dreams. And a month later, basically everything went like diving down, crashing, burning. And it was the most traumatic, horrible experience of my life. And when that happened, it really lit the fire under me to be like, okay, I have to write a book about this, not only for like my own personal reasons of healing and like getting it out, but the story of it was just so powerful that I felt like this could help people who have
absolutely
perhaps been through the same thing. Like, the book's not about that, but there's a couple chapters in there with how basically I've gotten through and overcome, you know, alcoholism and addiction and whatever, divorce and heartbreak. And, you know, I think the message, I didn't write about it to, you know, like, let's bash him and make him look bad. It was more of like, how can I not take it personally? And how can I forgive and let go and move forward with an open heart? Because I think the thing that a lot of people do is they generalize. And that can be, obviously, as we know, especially today, is that can be so dangerous to just be like, oh, well, this guy hurt me and therefore men suck, and so I'm just not going to date. When
totally.
Yeah, I don't want to close my heart. I want to keep my heart open. And how can I make that person and that experience with that person, but keep my heart open and remain a target for love? And so that's what really sparked the motivation to put out a book, you know?
No, I feel like I totally resonated when you were talking about, or it made me more inclined to want to read your book, because when you started talking about the divorce, I am like, very, I feel like sensitive, or I feel for people when they bring up anything divorce related, because about 2 years ago, my parents got divorced and it literally rocked my world. Like, my parents were like the Joneses, like, and I don't really talk about it. So like, I honestly feel uncomfortable even talking about it right now, but like, it rocked my world so much that I have so much empathy for anyone that has gone through a divorce, or like the kid being the children of a, you know, a crazy parent divorce, especially when you're young, like going through that. But anyway, I just have to ask, like, now that my parents have gone through it and, you know, I've seen the light at the end of the tunnel, and, you know, we're moving forward, and I feel like I can like breathe again, and I'm like less anxious, and I can talk about it without like bawling my eyes out, et cetera, et cetera. You know, what made you see the light at the end of the tunnel, like getting through your divorce? Was it you like writing out, you know, what you needed to get out, or like how did you get through the like big, you know, horrible part of it to, you know, feeling like you mm-hmm. needed to help people by your writing.
Well, first of all, I want to say that my parents were married 23 years and then they got divorced and it was like, wait, what? But we're the Three Musketeers. And so I totally have as much.
That was like my family.
Yeah. It's like
they were married for like, I think like 25 years or something around that.
Yeah. It's weird when it's that amount of time. I think it's almost like,
I'm just,
it's just
like,
bizarre.
But why though?
Yeah, yeah. But why? What's so different now than, I don't know. But I don't claim to know because, you know, I wasn't in the marriage, but I definitely thought, you know, we are a happy family. And yeah, there's a couple ups and downs, but, you know, I didn't ever think that that would happen. And then it did. And it was, I definitely did not break down. I didn't break down until I.
Okay, so we're going to pause the episode really quickly so I can talk about literally one of my favorite things on the planet, Anchor. So if you haven't heard about Anchor before, it's basically the easiest way to make a podcast, period. Let me just explain to you what they have. First of all, it's free, which like nothing's free anymore. So I feel like that's already your number one winner. Second of all, there's like all these different creation tools on the platform where you can make your own podcast and like you can record and edit it right from your phone or your computer, which is like crazy because you don't need all this fancy equipment. And like I said, it's free. So you're saving money that way too. And then my personal favorite thing about Anchor and like the main reason why I use it is because Anchor will literally distribute your podcast for you. So it can be heard on all different platforms that like basically any podcast can be distributed. So it can be heard through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many, many more. So all you do is submit your podcast link and they literally distribute it everywhere for you, which is incredible. And overall, it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So it's super easy. I can't recommend it enough. I personally use this every week and I just love it so much. I recommend it to everyone of my friends that wants to start a podcast. Even my brother uses it. So it's very user-friendly and I definitely recommend. So be sure to download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. So don't miss your opportunity to make an awesome podcast and download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing slash time expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 hard challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it. And it's just so good. Like a nice cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh. Mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys, the pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite. But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in 4th place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a Liquid IV. Like it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like, I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 hard challenge, but one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me. And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
Now let's get back into the episode. Hope you're enjoying it so far. Mwah!
Years later, that
really,
yeah, it was like they divorced when I was 18, and then like at 23 I started processing it all, because immediately I was like, well, I get it, you know, relationships aren't meant to last, and you know, it's their wow. prerogative, and I'm in college now, and you know what, it's not my place. And then I got sober and I was like, oh my God, where's my family? I have no family. Where's my home? Where are? And I had to like find home within my heart, and not, because there was no home. Like literally, like people would go back to their house and be like, oh, my family home. And I'm like, okay, I don't have that. Yeah. I guess home is wherever I'm going to be by myself.
Totally.
So good on you for like experiencing and letting it out and like feeling your feelings. And I think that has helped me as far as my own relationship goes and my marriage, where, you know, when shit hit the fan and I learned who I married and what, you know, he behaved like, I was so in love with him that it didn't make sense for me to just be like, you know what, I'm leaving because this is like, I deserve better and whatever. I had married him. So like, it's easy to walk away from just like a relationship. I mean, it's never easy because you have to like detach and all that stuff. But for me, like everybody in my life was like, oh my God, run, like run so far the other way. Like this really? Is way too soon to be happening. This isn't an old 10, 20 year relationship with kids where, you know, things happen. This is like a new relationship kind of. So
totally. When it's supposed to be like all good and dandy.
I think so. Yeah. The first few years of, especially after like the wedding, is like, come on. And so it was just so alarming, but so I didn't walk away. I did have my own space and I, you know, basically kicked him out, but I still kept in contact. Not a ton. For the first month, I was just like, okay, I got to focus on myself. And basically my parents and friends would come by and I would eat a bagel a day and I like dropped all this weight. And I, cause it was just so mortifying. Like the experience was so mortifying, and you can definitely read it in the book or listen to it on the podcast, cause I actually go into deep detail about it on there. But what I did to process a lot of the pain was therapy. We both went to couples therapy for 3 months. And in that, I was able to cry and let it out and share my fears, and he was able to share. And so it helped me have a better understanding of, you know, why he did what he did and where he came from. And, you know, long story long, I had to keep asking the universe, like, because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether I was supposed to stay or go, but I, you know, I got the signs that the changes weren't being made that I needed in order to move forward with trust. Because I do believe that, like, once the trust is broken, it's really hard to, like, move forward. Right? Because if it's broken, totally, then how do you stay in something where you don't actually trust the person? It's really difficult to want to be open to that person
horrifying.
Again. It's horrifying. And so, you know, I made a decision that was best for me to stick it out and to try to make it work so that I didn't have any regrets looking back. And when we finally like separated for good, it was like, well, I gave it everything. I gave it everything. And then in the process of healing, I cried a lot. I did a lot of breath work. I would share with friends how I was feeling. I would write letters. I would write out my emotions. Sometimes I would call him and just sob. Like there was just so much old ancient pain that this brought up for me, of like, you know, fear of abandonment and not being enough and all the human things that we have underneath everything.
Yeah, totally.
And I look at it now like, I mean, I still get angry. It's not often. But I'll definitely like once a month, usually around my period, where I'm like, no, nah.
Me.
Do you have same. That too, where you like your friends need to remind you that like we're extra sensitive around our period?
I feel like I'll know I'm off, or I know when I'm being a bitch, and I don't even know why I'm being a bitch though. And then I realize, like, I'll go to the bathroom and be like, oh, that's why.
Yeah, everything makes sense. And you're like, oh yeah, I need to take these days off from trying to make huge decisions, because the decisions that I want to make are so extreme around my period, which is such a beautiful thing. Like, but we take it for granted. Like, the fact that, like, we women are, like, working and hustling during our period is actually insane, because they used to, like, huddle in huts with just women, would be around women, and they'd all, like, menstruate together. And I'm like, I miss those. Like, can we get that back?
Why can't we do that?
That sounds amazing. Yeah.
So, last question about, like, all this heavy stuff, because I'm just very interested. It sounds like after whatever, like, went down and was the last hitting point to when you guys decided you were going to get a divorce, it sounded like it happened very quickly after your marriage. You decided to get a divorce pretty quickly. What advice would you give to, you know, any women or men, you know, that are getting married pretty quickly? Like, what advice would you be like, oh, hey, maybe, like, put the brakes on if this happens, or, you know, pay attention to these signs or these things? Like, what advice would you give to someone that might be getting married soon?
Right. Yes, we did. We got engaged after 4 months, and then we got married like a year later. So everything happened really quickly. And the things that I will say is, if it's urgent, if it feels urgent in your body, it's not spiritual. So, like, the things that are meant to happen in the world will happen with ease and grace. And there's nothing that you can really do to mess it up. If it's meant to be, like, if it's meant for you, it won't go by you. And I had such an urgent energy around the whole thing of needing him to move across the country in with me, and him the same. And we both, like, just had to be with each other, because it felt like I was searching for him for, like, literally 30 years, where I was like, and then when I finally found him, I was like, okay, we found each other. Like, we can stop looking. Let's be together now. And so, you know, it didn't feel wrong in the moment, but in hindsight, there were moments where I wasn't necessarily, and it's all so easy to, like, do things in hindsight, but at the time, there were moments where I listened to his words rather than my gut instinct. And I think that's a common thing where, you know,
wow, that's look powerful. At people.
Yeah. And his actions were great too. Like, it's not like he was a gentleman or acted like a gentleman and was so kind. Like, that's why it didn't make any sense, because he was so, like, people loved him. He came across very authentic and genuine. And so he was always showing up for me. And I can honestly say that I do believe that despite what he did love me to the best that he could. But the signs to look out for with, let's say, pathological lying or narcissistic or sociopathic behaviors, watch out for what they call love bombing, which is, you know, within the first few days of meeting you, they're saying, I love you. Oh. You know what I mean? Like, hold
like
on.
Over the top, obsessed.
Yeah.
You.
And you're like, oh my God, you're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. Or, oh my God, I want to be with you forever. If they're saying stuff like that, like, really soon, within the first, like, week, that's a red flag. Right. I don't care what you feel. And because I was privy to this where I believed it, because I believe that I am lovable and beautiful. And so when someone's acknowledging it, I'm like, you see me. Finally, like, someone's seeing me. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so love bombing is that. And, you know, like, be cautious.
That's crazy. I have never heard of that term, love bombing.
Oh, I hadn't either. Yeah.
That's like a mind blowing moment. For me.
Yeah. And it really happens a lot with a lot younger people, because it's like we're not as, like, weighed down with so much fear and, like, judgment and jadedness or whatever. But that's a huge one. Another one is gaslighting, that I the new term that I've learned about in the last year.
Do you want to explain that for people that don't really know what it is? Because I feel like all the time people are always asking what that is.
I know. Oh, I still don't. I mean, my interpretation of it is going to be that they make you seem like your thoughts are not yours or accurate in some ways. So just kind of, yeah, I would look up the term, because it's basically something that where they invalidate your feelings. They turn it back on you.
Yeah. It says basically making you question your own judgment and memory, or making you have, like, low self-esteem, it says.
Yeah. He didn't do this specific thing where, like, some people, like, I guess what they call, like, sociopath or psychopath or whatever it is, where you can't basically, like, you can't love anybody but me. Like, I have your best interest in heart and nobody is trustworthy. And so you start, like, questioning the people in your life and they're the only ones that are trustworthy. That's definitely, definitely a red flag. Jealousy, obviously, is not a great thing. Like, a little bit's fine, but, like, if it's, like, you can't hang out with your friends, you know. Luckily, he didn't do any of that. But there was a time where, like, I had good feelings about a certain, you know, girl or whatever that I liked. And he was like, she's evil. I would stay away from her. And I was like, what? I don't think that. Like, I've had good experiences with her. And he's like, just trust
that's
me.
Weird.
And later to find out that, like, I think he, like, tried to contact her before he ever met me. I don't know. It's weird stuff. But, like, yeah, it made me question my own trusting myself, which is very dangerous road to go down. You want to be able to... Like, this whole journey of this last year is me regaining trust in myself and following my gut and following my body, too. Because, like, the body doesn't lie. Energy doesn't lie. People lie.
That's so true.
The body is so smart.
The body does not lie.
And
yeah,
sometimes
the body is very smart.
It's so much smarter than our brain and what it says. And so it's important to listen to your body. Like, if you're not, like... A lot of people that are in relationships, I hear a lot that are like, I don't know, I'm just not attracted, or my body doesn't want to have sex, or da da da. Like, listen to that. There is a
Absolutely.
Reason. Like, that's
Period.
Information.
That's so true.
That's not something wrong with you. That's information of, like, maybe you don't trust the person yet. Maybe you think you trust them, but maybe you don't. Maybe there's more to be revealed. Maybe there's more to be expressed. Is there an unexpressed resentment that you haven't shared about? The body does not lie.
Wow, I love that. The body does not lie. Great, great quote. You need to have that as, like, a poster in your house.
I really
the
do.
Body does not lie.
I've had to remember that, like, my body is very smart, and, like, it's okay to trust that and to set boundaries. That's a whole other thing too. Setting boundaries, like, trusting that if you set boundaries and they leave, then they weren't meant to stay. You know what I mean?
Wow, so true. You're preaching.
I know.
The man in. Okay, I'm like taking all of this information in.
Oh, good.
So I have to ask, how do you feel? Because when my parents got divorced, like, I didn't want to tell anyone. I was so embarrassed. Like, I even to this day, like, it makes me afraid to pursue guys or, like, let them pursue me, because I'm just like, I'm genuinely, like, I joke about it, but, like, I tell my friends, I'm like, yeah, I'm just at this point, I'm expecting to get a divorce and have, like, two great marriages, and, like, that's the tea. You know what I mean? Which is, like, me. That's, like, me being unhealthy and, like, joking about it.
Yeah.
When joking about my biggest fear.
I totally get it. We do that to cope. That's all good.
Yeah.
I do the same
thing. That's my way of coping. But I have to ask, like, how are you so open with the world about it? Is it because, like, you grew on Vine and your life is so public? Like, is it just because that's what's comfortable to you? Like, talking on camera or talking to, you know, your podcast or your book or whatever? Like, how are you so open and comfortable talking about the things that have made you struggle, or, like, the deepest, darkest times in your life? Like, how are you so comfortable talking about it with people?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I have found freedom in doing so. And so I'm now wired to the goodness that it feels to be honest with someone. Because I have found that when I share something vulnerable about myself, it opens up the floor to have anyone I'm around be honest about something. And then it forces connection, which is what the main human desire is to feel connected, whether it's to themselves, to the people that they're around, or their source. Is we all just truly want to connect. And I have found, you know, I got sober. So, like, I was around a lot of people that were struggling. And when I started hearing, the only way I started opening up is because I heard other people opening up and telling their truth. And it blew my mind, because I was like, you know, I grew up in LA and Sherman Oaks and then Calabasas, where I did not feel safe. I didn't feel free. I felt like I had to be funny. I felt like if I were to start crying, then people would just start laughing or judging me and all these things. And I've only found the opposite to be true, that once I finally got real and dropped in and started speaking the truth, it was setting me free. Like, it's such a true statement that the truth is freedom. And so the more I share about what's really going on with me, the more praise I get, the more people write to me and say, I've never felt more connected to you. I love your comedy. But when you share, like, your tears or your truth, it's helped me so much. And I go, okay, well, if it's helping people, then that's my purpose. Because now I feel free.
Totally.
I don't feel like I have anything to hide. You know what I mean? I feel like I can be an open book and be like, yep, you know, I threw up in public because of alcohol, and I, my, you know, like, all these things. I used to whatever, I write a lot about my messes in the book and how, like, when you become at peace with your life, you can share anything. As it really,
so true.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you're like, well, I already amended that and I already came peace with that and I processed it. I mean, it took a lot of crying and grieving and not avoiding the pain of looking at, you know, what I used to behave like. So now that I've healed from it, I can talk about it easily. Right.
I love that. Yeah. That's honestly so impressive, because people always say, like, vulnerability is like, it's the sexiest and hottest, you know, best thing, but it's also the hardest thing. You just being vulnerable is like making, is what, why so many people connect with you. But I was going to ask, since your brand online, at least to begin with, was so comedy focused and, you know, this perfect bubbly, like, funny girl, was it so challenging being able to, like, kind of introduce this new, like, the real you to your following and your, because it's confusing being like your own person as your brand, if that makes sense. Was that ever tough?
Yeah, it's still tough. I still have a separate channel for my manifestation, you know, spirituality and loving the parts of you that hurt. I still sometimes keep it very separate because I haven't trusted that if I just combine them that people will accept it, you know. So I've kept them separate, and I've had, even just this year, this awakening of, it's all within me. It's all one thing. It's not this or that. I fear that it'll confuse people. And it does. Sometimes it does. Sometimes people watch a video that's serious and they're like, wait, I was waiting for the punchline. I don't understand. Wait, is this supposed to be funny or not? And it'll be what it'll be. But I definitely have found that I'm in more alignment with what I really have to say when I share all of it, and not just one side of the coin of the comedy side. That when I show the other side of, like, and today I'm struggling because I'm comparing and despairing on social media and thinking that other people are having it easier than me because, look, they're smiling and they have more followers, so therefore I'm not enough, and I have to, like, check myself and go, okay, so how do I get out of this mind frame? Journal, meditate, go for a walk, and get back into gratitude for what I do have. You know what I mean? And so, you know, it's still a balance. I still see a world in which, I mean, I do, I mean, on my certain channels, I do both. It's really just Instagram where I've kind of kept them somewhat separate.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not easy.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine. I was just about to ask you, first of all, were you the funny kid growing up? Were you, like, you know, always known as, like, the funny friend, or did you kind of, like, develop into realizing that you're, like, hilarious?
I was quiet, and then at about 8, it all came out, and then I was the funny kid, but I would intertwine. I would get quiet, and then I'd be funny around the people that I felt safe to be funny around.
Got
if that
it.
Makes sense. Like, okay. My close friends, I was goofy, but the comedy didn't really start to, like, shine until I started doing improv at Second City and Groundlings and stand up. And that's when it really, and then Vine, of course, that's when it took off to where I felt like I had permission to be that way more. But I've always had these two sides where I'm, like, quiet, introverted, you know, trying to give advice and be there for people in my life. And then when the camera's on, it all switches.
I don't know if this is, like, a stereotype or just something I've heard, but with comedians, is it true when people say that comedians are, you know, so happy, like, online or when they're on, but, like, it's because they're, like, actually not happy deep down when they're not on? Does that make sense?
I think that's a really good stereotype. I think that's not too far. I think there's a few of us out there that have gotten lucky enough to find a spiritual journey, you know, like Russell Brand and myself and my friend Laura
Clary.
It sounds
like you really have mastered, or you're on the road to mastering both, which is awesome.
Yeah, like, it definitely, we develop humor as a defense mechanism at an early age because we feel pain, and how can I deflect, and how can I avoid, and how can I deflect and make light of a heavy situation. And now, you know, like, even during my stand-up days, I didn't want to be out at midnight doing open mics. And so that's why I'm so grateful that Vine happened, because I was able to kind of have being the humorist, but still, you know, take care of myself mentally. But I think it's a very true thing that the darkest people are the funniest people because they take their darkness and use it for light on stage. And
that's so true. Yeah.
It comes from that, because there is an actual fine line. It is. It's very sad.
It's so sad. I want to dive into more lighter things because you're so good at like getting into the deep stuff. I love it.
I am.
You started Vine. Did you start it right when it came out? Like, how did you? How did
like
you get
5 months?
Vine?
5 months into it. So I think it started in 2013. I just quit my job at Daily Grill working in a restaurant. And I was like, there's got to be more to life. And then I got certified as an NLP practitioner doing neuro-linguistic programming, thinking that, okay, if this comedy thing doesn't work out, I'm going to heal people with hypnosis. And then like a month later, Vine took off and I made like 60 Vines just for fun. At this point, I didn't know that you could get a following on social media, right? Like that was out of the realm of possibility.
It wasn't a thing, yeah.
No, it was crazy to think about. And then I was doing stand-up at the time and I did a Kristen Stewart impression in my stand-up. And then someone commented on my Vine and was like, can you throw up your Kristen Stewart impression? I saw you do it at the Comedy Store. And I was like, great. And I did. And it was like an overnight thing where it was like 10,000 followers. And then a week.
I remember seeing that video.
That's so crazy. Yeah. And then it just blew up from there. And I was like, whoa, this is a lot.
Did you get brand deals and things? Like, when did you start making money from Vine?
I think within a couple of months, I started getting $100.
Like, what was your first check?
Oh, my God. It was like $100 for some shopping app. And then, yeah, I was making like nothing. And I had like 500,000 followers making. But for me, it was everything. I was like, $100?
Oh, you were probably like, holy shit. Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is crazy. And then I realized that I had a really bad scamming manager for a couple months who I think stole from me, and then I found.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. It was horrible, but I didn't know he was because I didn't know what people were making until I started talking about it with my other Vine friends, and they're like, "What? You should be making $3,000-$4,000 with that." Yeah. And I was like, "What?" And then I ditched him, and then got with a different agency and started making actual money, and it was amazing. It was incredible.
Did you ever have a moment where you got offered a brand deal that was just like, you were like, I cannot believe I'm getting paid this much for a Vine?
Yeah. I still am shocked that anyone's paying me to promote their stuff. 7 years later, I'm like, huh?
Who's been your favorite brand partnership?
Oh my gosh.
You've done some really cool ones I've seen.
I have. I've been really lucky. I think when I was on Vine, I had a really good one that I did for Nordstrom and Amazon. Oh, I liked the T-Mobile one I did with like my friend asked me to marry him, and then I had to make like a really goofy, ugly face and basically be like, sure, I'll marry you. But I had like a really disgusted face, and that was really fun. But recently, I mean, I love all the brands that I work with. But one was really fun. I went to Shanghai Disney, and I went to Australia first. So I was promoting Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean. And so they had me and Desi Perkins and a couple other influencers go to Australia and film a day with Jack Sparrow. What's his name? Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And
that's so cool.
It was crazy. And I was in the middle of filming a Vine on set, and we were all in these crazy costumes, and Johnny had walked by. And I was like, I just stared at him and I was like, I'm just going to my trailer. And I pointed at the porta potty or whatever. And then he just stared at me and he was like, that used to be my trailer. And I was like, oh my God. And then later he came and took a picture with us and we got to like watch him sword fight. And then 2 years later, like, so this was what was weird. I was still on Vine at the time and they're like, okay, great. Awesome. And you're going to be posting this, you know, in 2 years when the premiere comes out. And I was like, what? And at that point, Vine was dead. So like,
oh,
2 years later, we all fly to Shanghai Disney and go to the premiere of this movie that, you know, we were promoting. And so at that point, I just kind of promoted on my Instagram. But we got to see all the actors again. And it was a really cool campaign because it lasted so long in really cool cities,
crazy
and countries.
You've done a lot of, well, it was just really popular, especially you living in LA, to collab with people on Vine. And it seems like you've did a crap ton of collabs.
Yes, I did. I collaborated with Jay Cyrus, Vincent Marcus, Marcus Johns, Matt Cutshall, Sonny Mabry, Jason Nash, Brandon Cavillo.
Is it crazy seeing, I mean, obviously you've done a great job like diversifying and, you know, building a brand off of Vine because it died.
Yeah.
Is it crazy seeing other Viners, like, for instance, David Dobrik?
Oh, God.
Or even, like, the Paul brothers, like seeing like what they're doing now.
Oh, it's insane. I'm so jealous. I just am like, what the F did I do wrong here? Because
what do you think you did? Oh, I mean, I would say you're really successful, obviously, but like, what do you
know? But
you
they're on another level, making millions and millions and millions. And I'm not doing that, but I will at some point.
What do you think that they did that was so smart?
They collabed with each other. And so I think had I opened my collaborations up more broadly, I think that would have been really helpful. They also promoted the hell out of their YouTube and started doing YouTube, which I never really got into. And I think that was a mistake. Or it was what it was. I hate to say like, oh, the mistake. But like, had I been like, all right, guys, follow me to YouTube, follow me to YouTube, follow me to YouTube, and started vlogging, yeah, you know what I mean? And hanging out with David and Zane and Heath and Liza and all them, I would have like, you know, been in that world and had a nice chunk of followers. And I love all of those guys. Like, I love them all. They're great. I just didn't spend time with them and I didn't get into the whole vlogging thing because I think at that point I was still feeling like, and I still feel like I want to be an actress and I really want to be in movies and TV shows and have a sitcom. And it didn't feel in alignment with what I was trying to do.
Yeah. I was just about to ask you, what do you feel like are the next big steps for you? Like, where do you see yourself going? What do you want to do, like, that you haven't accomplished yet? And be specific, not just like, you know, I want to be an actor. Like, what do you want to be an actor in a feature film? Do you want to be the next Megan Fox? Like, what do you want to do?
That's hilarious. Oh my God, that's hilarious. She's really pretty.
Oh, she's stunning. So are you, though. So are you.
Oh, thank you. I'm blushing. I would like to be the next female Ace Ventura, The Mask.
Okay.
So like the next female Jim Carrey. So I'd like to star in a comedy where I'm the fish out of water crazy character and have everybody just be like, what is wrong with her? The other thing is star in a sitcom like Friends where I play Phoebe or Rachel. And that's like a dream of mine to be on set of a sitcom area where I'm just filming with a bunch of friends. Yeah, TV show, movies like that. And then at some point I do want to get into drama and, you know, be in those really deep movies that mean something, that are trying to get a message across, that, you know, there's a motive behind. And I see that later. I see right now a lot with this book and getting into spirituality and healing and TED Talks and stuff like that. And I think that the acting is going to pick up pretty soon. I have a really good feeling about 2021.
I love how specific you are. You're like, I want to be this, this, and this. Do you like write those things down? You said you're really big into manifestation. What do you do like specifically to make those things come to fruition?
Well, I could be doing more now that you're bringing it up, but the way I've manifested the life that I have now is, yes, absolutely through visualization and picturing things in big, bright color and stepping into that image and imagining that it's already happening now. Writing things down, yeah, and gratitude, like thanking them. Like, let's say for me, I would be like, thank you so much for making me the star of a hit sitcom that's lasting for years at a time where I'm being paid millions. So I'd already be thanking the universe for what it has yet to give me, but will give me, like clicking into as if it's happening now. So not like, oh,
so
I
like
will.
It's currently happening.
Yes. That's a lot of what Tony Robbins talks about. And as I'm saying it now, I'm like, okay, I'm not doing this enough. So I need to be doing it now. But I'm doing
come
I do,
on, Manon. Get
I did
on it,
it,
girl.
I know. I did it for my wedding. I was like, I'm getting free stuff. I'm getting free stuff. And I got, and the wedding will be really taken care of. And I manifested three free dresses, cake, DJs, photographers, videographers, the tuxedo, like, almost everything was taken care of because I was just positively sure that it was going to happen. And I did the same thing. I'm doing the same thing with my house. I'm selling my house and I already feel it in my gut that there's going to be a bidding war and they're going to pay way over asking price. And I'm going to be like, yes. So I just need to bring it into my career now. Like, that's the last step for me.
So you more so naturally manifest your personal things and you kind of have to tell yourself to manifest your work or career stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah, it's so weird because I had such an easy time manifesting Vine and those followers without even knowing it. I think it was just the freedom and I think when you really enjoy something, it pays you back. You know what I mean? Like, people just want to have us want to watch us have fun and enjoy ourselves. And so the same thing happened with TikTok when I joined earlier this year, and now I'm at like 1.1 million, which feels really good. And that all happened really quickly. And unfortunately, the limited belief is the whole Instagram. I'm like, well, that can't happen on Instagram because of the algorithm and blah, blah. And I still have like this weird block from it. I mean, I'm happy that Reels has happened because it's fun and it's, you know, find more access, but it really is, our life is a reflection of our beliefs.
Do you know your Enneagram number?
Yeah, I think I'm a 2.
You are?
Sometimes I get a 4.
It's like, oh, I could see that. Are you a wing 3? Like, I don't know if you know Enneagram.
I have to redo it. But when I've taken those tests, I would get like, I would flip flop between maybe a 2 and a 4.
So I'm a hard 3, which is like the achiever, the one that like, I like, for instance, prime example is it's so easy for me to manifest work or career things, but I have to remind myself to manifest like personal things that I want to, you know, get better at. I'm like the complete opposite.
I'm reverse. Yeah. So I can, I'm like, oh, I boyfriend, I got one tomorrow.
I have to tell myself like, oh yeah, like I do want a husband one day. Like I should probably start like thinking about that or manifesting that. Whereas like, with like work, it's I don't know why it comes so much more naturally, or it's way more top of mind for me. So I have to like remind myself to manifest personal things. But I think it makes sense because I'm the 3 on the Enneagram. Like I'm the achiever. I love, like I get high off of like work success kind of thing.
I'm the opposite. Like I could care less about work. I mean, I'm really, really grateful for it and I love it. But like it's not, I have to make myself show up for it, whereas yeah, like,
well, we need to like find our happy medium.
Yeah, when you spoke about your parents and everything, I was like, you got to make that vision of them, just make it black and white, push it away, and start picturing in big bright colors the kind of love and relationship that you truly desire and hold nothing back, and bring that closer to you, because that's them, that's not you.
I do need to do that. I literally do need to do that, because I don't know why, like I'm like, okay, that happened to them, like that's gonna happen to me, like I that's
a lie, that's a full-blown lie.
Okay, that's good, I needed to hear that.
Yeah, you're lying to yourself, so you can just apologize and move forward with the truth.
That makes me feel good. I'm excited to, is your manifestation channel, is that on YouTube?
It's just on Instagram? It's on Instagram. Yeah.
Okay. I'm so excited to follow that because I love like manifestation stuff.
Oh, good, good, goody, good, good.
Well, let's run through these polls and we will wrap it up. It was such a delight talking to you.
You too.
We did some fun, like really quick polls that we are going to answer, of course. So the first one is TikTok or Vine? Which one do you prefer?
Oh my God. Oh, Vine.
I'm going to say TikTok because I'm a Gen Z.
Yeah, I have to say Vine because it's like OG Vine.
That's your OG.
I love TikTok, so come on.
78% said TikTok, 22% said Vine. I would say that's pretty decent though, because
I'm surprised like anyone said Vine. Especially since it's over. Same. Like it's not even active anymore. So
TikTok or Instagram?
TikTok.
I'm going to say TikTok too. 66% said Instagram.
Whoa.
And 34% said TikTok.
Well, where was the poll taken?
Instagram.
Figured.
That's why. Long form vid or short form vid?
It depends on how long, you know what I'm saying? But I love a good short
what's like
form.
What's too long in your opinion?
Oh my God, like 10 minutes it might be too long.
Really?
I like short form. I like both, but I'm gonna pick short form.
I'm gonna pick short form, but I do like both.
I mean, they're both great for different reasons, you know?
I think long form only works if at the end of the video you're like, holy shit, that felt so short. So it's like all in the editing. Like I feel like if it's long form, it needs to have a bunch of different chapters that are like really short. So a bunch of shorts together. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So yeah, 66% though said long form.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
That's really
sure
weird.
I thought it was gonna be the opposite. Yeah.
Me too.
34% said short form. So I don't know. I will say though, I'm more of in the like lifestyle YouTuber community. And a lot of my peers and people that, you know, I'm friends with on YouTube or that are in the lifestyle community, they've been uploading a lot longer videos. Like they'll upload like a 30 or 40 minute vlog, and that does better for them, which is crazy.
I don't understand.
But like then I have like TikTok friends that you know, are like, oh my God, don't make anything over 10 seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's weird. I think it just depends, like, master your thing and like figure out what people, I guess, like the mm-hmm. most. Stand up or podcasting?
Stand up is way more exhilarating than podcasting. I love podcasting. I really do. But I have to say stand up.
I'm going to say podcasting because I'm biased, but 78% said podcasting.
Yeah. I mean, it's like what, listening or going? It kind of depends.
So true. Yeah.
Because like as a performer, there's nothing like being on stage and having an audience like be there is powerful. But podcasting, oh, it's just comfortable and easy and fun and you get to be in your PJs, which I'm in right now.
Yeah. Well, also it's podcasting for me is therapeutic. Like I feel like me talking things out like really makes me feel better after.
Yeah. It's great to process that way for sure.
Reading books or listening to books?
Listening.
I would say listening too, because if I read, I have to be annotating it at the same time. Like I have to be writing or underlining or like that's the only way I can fully comprehend if I'm like I have a pen in my hand too.
Yeah, I love a good walk with a like with an audiobook and getting killing two birds or whatever.
Yeah, two birds with one stone. Well, once your book is in audio format, I can't wait to listen to it.
Yeah, it'll be in November, so it shouldn't be, and that'll fly by, and it'll be like my voice speaking my words. I'm really, really excited.
Wait, really? You're gonna be the one?
Yeah.
Doing it? Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to have you in my ear.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 66% said reading books. That actually surprises me.
Yeah, it's more. I want to say meditative to, I think, read, but it's like, I just have a hard time sitting down to do that. So whatever.
Same. And then last one, pizza or sushi?
No, don't make me choose.
I'm going pizza.
I'm really 50-50 on this. Okay, I'll say pizza too.
You're going to say pizza too? I mean, it's a classic. You can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong with pizza.
You can't have really like bad pizza, but you can have bad sushi. Have good,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What's your sushi restaurant of choice?
Katsuya or Sugarfish?
Yeah, I'm a Sugarfish girl.
Oh, it's so good. It's stupid. Yeah. It's stupid good.
It's stupid good, yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Do you mind pimping yourself out? Where can people follow you? Your Instagram, your TikTok, your book, everything.
Yeah, my TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook is at Manonmathews, Manonmathews. And then my spiritual channel is Manonfestation. My podcast is Serious But Funny, B-U-T-T. And then my book is Funny How It Works Out. And
wow, I'm so excited to listen to your book in November. And thank you so much for coming on.
Are you kidding me? Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. And literally, let's keep in touch so I can crush your belief negative or limiting beliefs.
You'll probably see me starting to comment on all your manifestation posts because like I need that positivity.
Yes, it's good. It's good to follow positive Instagram.
Yeah.
Accounts.
I know. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at TK's Juicy Polls because without following me, you can't vote in the polls and be a part of the podcast. And be sure to make someone's day this week. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.